The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Candelario, and welcome to the Electric Drum, the one and only right here out of New Haven. And today we have a very, very special guest. You know him all in West Haven, all over the place. He does everything from weddings to funerals and and everything in between. Mr. Steve Mullen, how you doing, sir?
Good.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Let's get going. Where are you from originally?
Where I'm from originally? Well, I was born in Alabama. A very small town called Glenwood in Crenshaw County. It is about 60 miles or so south of Montgomery, the capital, where I was actually literally born. And I lived there till around the age of five. Then we moved to West Haven. And I've been in West Haven ever since, with the exception of going away to school and coming back to serve West Haven in many different ways.
All right. So tell me, who's this we that you do talk about?
We is the family. Mom and dad. I'm only child. So
let's get names here. What's dad's name?
Alexander Graham and Armistine Graham. Technically, he's my stepdad, but he's the man that raised me. And
I see you thinking
they
hard.
He met mom, and they married, and here we are.
It wasn't that simple.
Now, it was part of more to that, but you know, I was a little kid, so I don't know everything, nor do I need to know everything. But it was New Year's Eve of 1979. 79 was turning into 80, that we moved to West Haven.
What type of man was this in your life, and what kind of?
Well, was and is. He was a businessman. He had a trucking company. And both of them made a lot of great sacrifices for me, and I truly appreciate it. And one of the best things that happened in my life was actually moving, well, yes, West Haven, but definitely moving to the Northeast, to Connecticut. Education much better here compared to there, and more opportunities. I'm very fortunate that I had the opportunity to come to Connecticut.
What's the difference between Alabama? What do you remember of Alabama? Remember much?
A lot. And the reason why I remember so much is because I went there and have gone there very often. As a child, of course, we would go visit my grandparents, my mother's parents. And there were two summers, summer of 83 and summer of 85, that I stayed there for numerous weeks, probably a month or a little over. So I am very familiar with life down there, how it was then in the early 80s and so forth. I was threatened with switches if I misbehaved. And for those who don't know, a switch is when your grandma goes out to the and picks out a limb off a tree and comes back taking off
I thought
leaves.
It was a tough grandma, because I usually get a rod off the bush. But she got a limb off the tree.
Yeah, I mean, probably a rod off a bush. Yeah. But I remember, and this was just a threat. It never really happened. And I would see her
picking off the leaves.
Taking off the leaves on the way back. I'm like, I better get my butt in order, because I saw what happened to other kids. Okay. I need it happening to me. So that was that. So I was.
What was grandma's name?
Well, what is grandma's name?
Oh, grandma. Yeah. Wow.
Yes. She, grandma is on the eve of 92. She'll be 92.
And what's her name? What's his beautiful name?
December, Ernestine Pinckney Mullins. And let me tell you about her. I don't know if you were able to see the video I sent you yesterday, but she is she lives on the same property that she was born on and has lived on her entire life. And that property has been in the Pinckney / Mullins family since, I think, 1905 or 1906. And my parents live there today. They built a log cabin. Now, granted, she doesn't live in the same house, but definitely on the same property. So she is one person who has not only stayed in the same town, but stayed on the same property for her entire almost 92 years of life.
Wow.
And raised, was married and raised her daughter there. My grandfather, Kristen Mullins is his actual name, passed away 30 years ago in August. And so she's been a widow ever since, and she's done well. She's having some health difficulties now, but I suppose anyone who's an eve of 92 is going to have health difficulties. But overall, she's doing very well, and I love her to death. And
out of all those summers that you spent with her, what's a teaching or a saying or something that comes to mind when you have to make a tough decision?
Always do what is right. Even if someone isn't watching, do what is right.
Hmm.
That is it.
That's it.
That's it. And that's what I expound to other people, particularly young people. I've done a little bit with youth and giving them recognition and awards and so forth. And I always expound, always do what is right, even when no one is looking.
Hmm. But that's biblical.
I don't know if it's actually literally biblical, but it's close enough.
good enough.
Well, the Bible of Ernestine Mullins.
Pinckney Mullins.
Yes, yes.
You learned, but the threat of the switch was good enough for you.
The threat of the switch was good enough. And watching that, oh yeah, I can see it now. I can see it now. Her coming back, taking the leaves off that bush branch or whatever it was. Oh yeah.
But you don't seem to have been that bad of a kid.
No. Well, if you're threatening well enough, you're not going to be that bad, but no.
What is it about going down south that really helps in formulating a foundation of just being grateful for what you have here?
Well, a lot's changed down there since the late 70s, early 80s. When I was there temporarily going to school, and I was in the school bus, believe it or not, the school buses were segregated still. There was not like here, like Glenwood does not have its own school. I mean, the current population of Glenwood is 109 people. At that time, it was probably around 300 or so. But it's a county school district. And so everyone went to one of two schools, Brantley, which is where I went to school, which was K or pre-K through high school. And the other one was Laverne, which is pre-K through high school. And there was a big rivalry between the two. Laverne was Tigers, Brantley's Bulldogs.
Little Alabama history for you guys.
And so in Glenwood, if you lived in Glenwood, you went to Brantley. And so there were two buses that went to Brantley school. And at that time, we're looking at 1979, there was what was called the white kids bus and the black kids bus. And so naturally, of course, I was on the black kids bus. So that was my experience with segregation. I don't know what made the county school district do that. But yeah, without a doubt, it was segregated. One time coming back from school, the teacher accidentally put me on the white bus. Now, I did what she said, I figured, let me get on this bus now. And then when she walks down further, I get on the right bus, the correct bus. And I, the reason why, because she would beat me even worse than my grandmother would. They whip kids in school back in those days. Things you can't do now, of course. But I remember trying to get off the bus, and all of a sudden, all these really, really big high school kids, all white kids, got on that bus. Like, oh, I know you, blah, 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 blah. And I end up being stuck on that bus. They took care of me. They didn't do anything to me or anything. Like, made sure I got off the bus and got to the right place and everything else. But I'm going to a tangent. But that's just an experience that I had and survived with no problem.
Well, there's some kind of culture shock going back and forth at that young age. Wasn't there? I mean, going down there for the summer and seeing that, and was it that much, or was society already much regulated on both ends?
No, I got this, the culture shock was coming here to Connecticut. Now, that was very rural Alabama. So, it wasn't Montgomery or any place that was a city. Then moving to West Haven, there was lots of cars. There was, city buses. There was just, I consider West Haven a small town now, but at that time it was, quite something.
It's a big city, Sprung.
Yeah. So, start off at Thompson School, and then we.
I'm busy, Pops. Jeez.
That's no problem. Then we moved to another house, and I was in a different school. And that was a school, the elementary school I went on through sixth grade, and then to Kerrigan Middle School and West Haven High School. That school was Forest School. And I got used to it really quick. I really did. I mean, I was young. I was kindergarten age. And it was just, you adapt. I was homesick for a long time. One person that got me through homesickness was a teacher I had who just recently passed away, and that's Barbara Conti. And I, for whatever reason, remembered her birthday was in February. I don't know why I remember that from way back then. And I found that she went to another school in West Haven, and it was Seth Haley, and I found out that she was there. And in February, I didn't know what date her birthday was, but in February of 2011, I brought her flowers, and she remembered me. And she remembered where I sat. Everything was wonderful. And she just recently passed away over the summer. So, but she was one person that really helped smooth the way of the transition from there to here. And I'm very appreciative of that.
You're listening to the Electric Drum on 94.3 WYBC, The Rhythm of the City. I'm Jose Candelario, and this is Mr. Stephen Mullins, coming to West Haven at a young age, adapting, having those kind of help and foundation to lay the foundation. And transitioning is pretty big in society. So you went to Kerrigan?
Mm-hmm.
For high school?
Then on to West Haven High School. So, Kerrigan was from what? Well, everything without the degrees or anything like that, everything important that's essential, that is basic in life, that I've carried with me everywhere, I learned at Forest School. I will appreciate my Forest School education to the day I die. I am still in touch with many of my Forest School teachers. A fourth grade English teacher I had just friended me on Facebook 2 weeks ago or 2 days ago, who I hadn't seen in a while. My fifth grade teacher came to our wedding and our children's baptisms. So I'm very much in tune with many of them still, and they're great people. And Mr. Brandon ran a very good school back then. And went on to the Kerrigan, and Kerrigan was brief. It was only two grades, seventh and eighth at that time. Now it's fifth and sixth. It's an intermediate school now. Dr. Raffone, Mr. Winfield, he ran a tight ship there. And seventh grade was an adjustment. By eighth grade, I had my act together. and got more involved in student council and so forth. Then on to West Haven High School, where Mr. Carano was our principal from. He was assigned there when we were freshmen, and he left there, retired when we were, or after we graduated. So he was there basically for us. And he was a good man, just like an additional father to many of us. I was class president for 3 of the 4 years. Again, with teachers, my class advisors, Ms. Paps or Kovacs at the time, and Ms. Janicek, they were at our wedding. They were at our kids' baptisms. I stayed in good contact with many teachers because they were part of forming me to who I am and what I try to be.
Let me tell you.
And I appreciate that.
You're breaking the stigma because I'm from New Haven, and we always hear about West Haven, quote unquote. I got air quotes out here.
Yeah.
That it wasn't that inviting, but you had an excellent experience as an African. And the sound of the community, I mean, it sounds like West Haven is very tight knit.
West Haven is very tight knit. And, we've got our issues. We've got our personality disputes in West Haven. Believe me, I deal with them every day. And I will admit, sometimes I'm part of the problem too. So I'm not going to say I'm above the fray. But it is a very close-knit community. For the most part, many people know each other or have known each other for many, many decades. Today, this morning, I was at a funeral for one of our former Allentown Fire Commissioners that I've known for well over 30 years. And there are members of her family that came with me and said, "Oh, I remember you were a little boy. I remember when you were this high," and so forth. And I'm just amazed. And this was an Italian family. And they remember the little black kid from Oak Road from the early 80s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I deliver papers in my neighborhood and so forth. And many of those customers, I think I have one customer left who is still in the same house and still living. I had two, which is her next door neighbor, and she recently passed away. One left, that's Mrs. Sacco, who was the former director of libraries in West Haven. And to my knowledge, she's still in her home, and she's well into her 90s right now. So it's a tight-knit community. People tend to know each other for many, many years or decades and have a, not always a good relationship, but. someone doesn't know someone you like.
There's a relationship.
There's a relationship, yes.
You went away to college.
Mm-hmm.
How was that experience, and how beneficial is it for people to get away and to gain that outside perspective? Did you go?
I went to Berklee College in White Plains, New York, in Westchester, business school. It was a tough and rigorous program. I had my challenges, but I got through it. I also found myself tutoring English to Japanese students. Not the English language necessarily, but English composition. And I was employed by the school. I worked for the admissions department, and I tutored English composition to Japanese students. I suppose any other student needed help, also, but they were mainly Japanese students that I tutored to. And that was quite an experience. And if you asked me a year earlier, 2 years earlier, that would be tutoring, I would have told you you're absolutely crazy. But it is important. I think it's important to go away to school. And even though in my case, that was only about an hour, 15 minutes, hour and a half away, it's important for students to be able to live on their own, figure out things on their own. My daughter just graduated Albertus Magnus last May. She lived on campus for a year, didn't really like it, came home for a little while, then she moved into a house with some friends. But she was on her own, and she figured things out. My son just graduated West Haven High School in June, and he started Wagner College in Staten Island, New York, where he's the pre-med, and he's running D1 track. And it's not easy. It was pretty easy for me to come back from Westchester to West Haven. With him coming back from Staten Island to West Haven, it's a few hours. You got tunnels, you got bridges, you got holes, the whole bit. It's not easy accessible. So he doesn't come home too often, which is okay because he's figuring it out on his own, which is a great thing. And he's got a lot of worldly experience anyway, because when he was 9 years old, I went with him and he went on a Broadway tour. He was in a play called Kinky Boots, and it was touring around United States and Canada. So he had 6 months experience of moving around a different city every week. And then he spent 2 years on Broadway, going from West Haven to New York City by train every day.
We're here on the Electric Drum. This is 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Jose Canelario. We're listening to the story of Steve Mullins, who likes to talk about everyone else except himself.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Okay.
Jesus. Let's get back to you, my friend.
Let's get back to me.
So
okay.
You go to college. That's what the drum is about.
We
want to heal our community through other people's stories, because that's how we can learn without making the same mistakes. Your first job when you got out of college, did you come back here or did you? Okay.
I came back here. First job, it was a temp job. I worked temporarily for the Housing Authority of the City of New Haven. I worked in the Resident Service Department with a woman named Edith Rawls, an icon of the city and the Housing Authority and St. Martin de Porres Church. And I gained a great deal of experience there. And then I ended up going into property management, working for different companies. I started off as a leasing agent, assistant property manager, and moved on to manager. All different types of properties, subsidized low-income housing tax credit properties, as well as regular market rent properties. And basically, I found a way to be successful is to treat everyone the same, which is treat everyone very well, regardless if it was a subsidized property or a market property where you have very, very wealthy tenants or you have very, very poor tenants. You treat everyone the same, you give them the same services, everything would be just fine.
So you navigate, what are some of the things, did you get your business prowess through school and watching elders or your parents, or how did you navigate society, or what helped you navigate the jobs?
Being goal-focused, basically. Knowing what you have to do and knowing how you're going to achieve it. Every day was different. There was no 2 days were the same. And I think any property manager of any major developments would agree that no 2 days are the same. There's maintenance issues you have to oversee. There's actually 90% of the job was dealing with maintenance issues. There's being accountable to your regional managers, making sure that as many apartments as possible are leased up, overseeing the staff, not just the staff of maintenance, but also the staff of leasing agents, making sure that you got your numbers correct, making sure you know who's moving in when and who's moving out when and how long it takes to overturn a unit or turn over a unit. There's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. You just have to be organized and orderly and come to work with a positive attitude every day, or else you're just going to fail.
These days, you are doing a lot. I see you everywhere. Is that just to keep busy? And what is it that you, I mean, you officiate weddings, you're at funerals, you do a lot of civic stuff. You're on the West Haven Black.
I'm the chair of the West Haven Black Heritage Committee, which has been in existence upcoming almost 30 years now. February will be 30 years. I was one of the original members from 1996 when I was 21 years old, along with B. Johnson and the late Ernestine Jackson. I'm the chairman of the City of West Haven Fair Rent Commission, which was just now revamped after a 30-plus year hiatus. And it was it definitely had its challenges getting that up and running again. But I think we're pretty well established at this point in time. And having that housing experience, that property management experience for so many years, very helpful in that type of a position. I served as Commissioner of Planning and Zoning in City West Haven for 16 years, and much of that time I was either chair or vice chair of the commission. As you said, justice of the peace, I do a lot of JP work that's not just marriages, but also the document acknowledgement matters, power of attorneys I take care of, paperwork, and of course, marriages. I probably marry roughly around six to 10 couples a week.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I tend to keep a little busy.
I always say one experience, one lump leads to the next opportunity, the next experience, and the knowledge lends itself to the next opportunity. Do you find that to be true in your life? That, you know, what you learn and, you know, as running a paper route led to the next thing, you know?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the paper route in the 80s, that was the first time I got some real money on my own. Actually, I started off when I was in third grade, I mowed lawns. Then and at that time, you're talking about the early 80s, it was $5 for the front, $5 for the back. Now, if, you know, you're 8, 9 years old, you got that money in your pocket, you're doing okay back in those days. Then I got the paper route, where I really had to be a true businessman, you know, because I didn't just deliver the papers, I had to go and I had to collect. And if you owed multiple weeks, I had to demand that money, because if I didn't get that money from the customers, it was coming out of my pocket. I had one case. I had to have been 11 years old, and I went to collect, and the lady said, well, go upstairs and get the money. So I'm going upstairs, she's not my customer. I know, but she's been stealing my paper. So little 11-year-old Stephen Mullins pounds up those stairs, bangs on that door, and a lady holding a baby says, hi, 2 weeks, $4.90. That's what I said. It was $2.45 a week then, the newspaper. And she's like, oh, I don't order the paper. I said, I know you don't, but you've been stealing the paper from downstairs. And she looked at me and was like, oh, gave me the baby to hold. I don't think I ever held a baby before in my life. Gave me the baby to hold while she went and rummaged and found some money. And then we make the exchange. She gave me the money. I gave her the baby. And I just had to be a bill collector sometimes at a young age because I wanted to get paid. I didn't want to have to pay them because pay to register for because people didn't want to pay me. So it was, it was challenging, but I did what I had to do.
But you know what? That leads to the type of person you are now, because you seem to be a person that is willing to have the tough conversation.
Oh, yes.
Ask the questions that you don't want asked.
Right. Right. And believe me, when I was a little kid, I was a shy boy, but that paper route, the shyness had to kind of go away. I was nice and quiet if I had to be. But if you owed me money, it was not pretty. And there were several times I had to have those conversations with people. And, you know, I guess today, you know, it'd be like, you know, cutting someone's lights off. You know, if you cut someone from getting the paper, that was a big deal.
But you seem to have carried that into your current life at holding people accountable.
Yes, yes. Because now... just going into the Fair Rent Commission, I have to hold landlords accountable. Is this a fair and equitable rent increase? Prove to me that it is. Are the maintenance issues being taken care of on a regular basis? Now, this is someone who's never was an actual landlord, but managed on behalf of landlords and oversaw staff. So I know what's BS and what isn't. And I will tell you this, in the Fair Rent Commission in West Haven, there have been many times when cases have been ruled in favor of the tenant and in favor of the landlord. So it's not just one-sided. But having a wealth of knowledge from past experiences, and I guess even experiences from the 80s living papers, helps me out today.
Thank you very much for the stories that you've shared. I know we dug back into your past.
Yeah. I didn't expect to start talking about Glenwood, Alabama so much, but you want to know where I was born. So it wasn't at Yale New Haven Hospital like everybody else.
Well, thank you for taking part in this therapy session known as the Electric Drum. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.
This has been the Electric Drummer 94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. This is Stephen Mullins. I'm Jose Candelario. And like always, thank you for listening.